Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.
He did have a previous conviction for indecent assault. I think he lured a girl out of a nightclub in his native Australia when he was 18 and indecently assaulted her, but nothing since then. And obviously people wouldn't have been aware of that in their daily dealings with him. Una did know him. She obviously worked with him. They weren't friends or anything like that, but she obviously, as you said, had no reason to fear him, and she had no idea what was about to happen to her.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
A stalker whose campaign of terror helped force Ireland's politicians to change our laws is back on the streets after being released from prison. James Steele was driven out of Arbor Hill prison on Thursday after serving a 5-year sentence for harassing and threatening to rape Cork woman Una Ring. During his trial, the court heard how Steele turned up at his victim's home with duct tape, rope and plastic gloves. Today, I'm talking with Sunday World News editor Emer Rabbit about James Steele's campaign of terror and Ireland's new anti-stalking laws. I'm Niall Donald and this is Crime World, a podcast from sundayworld.com. Stalking and the effects of it have probably never been more in the general water cooler discussion than they have been at the moment because of Baby Reindeer series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I know you haven't seen it, but it's basically a comedy. But in fairness to it now, it's not something that diminishes the horror of it. But, you know, because it does take the issue seriously in of itself. It's about a guy, a comedian, being stalked by a woman. But I suppose it's funny that it's everywhere on Twitter at the moment, Baby Reindeer, and probably the most in the same week, the most frightening case really that I can remember in my time as a journalist. And the guy at the centre, that James Steele, was released from Arbor Prison.
Yeah.
He walked out after serving what seems like quite a short sentence, really.
Yeah, it does. And I suppose it follows on from what we were talking about with Nicola last week and about the people perceiving what to be lenient sentencing. Obviously, James Steele got originally a 7-year sentence. It was 2 of that was suspended, so 5 years in jail. And then he may have been in custody for a bit before that, and then with your standard remission time in prison, he was out after 3. So he was sentenced in February 2021. So it's just over 3 years. So you do think in the context of, we're going to talk about now, what he did.
Yeah.
And I suppose what you were saying there about the stalking and how it's kind of thrown into sharp relief, you're right, because when you're looking into a lot of the crimes and murders and serious crime in general, a lot of it does involve some kind of stalking of a victim or harassment, or there's usually a precursor there. But I suppose with the criminal justice legislation in 2022 that was brought in, it is putting it as a standalone offence, and it's kind of putting it in sharp relief.
Well, let's come back to that, because that this case in particular was a key element in why we have changed our laws.
Yeah.
So let's go back to where it started. James Steele, he's from Australia originally.
Mm-hmm.
he had a conviction, I think, from when he was a teenager, but really he was living a normal life in County Cork.
Mm-hmm.
And he became fixated on a woman he was working with called Una Ring.
Yeah.
Tell us how that fixation developed.
So they were co-workers, and then James Steele seemed to have gotten some kind of promotion. So his role was changing. So he asked her, would she help him with something? And she turned up one day, I think it was some kind of open day, and he basically made unwanted advances to her. But he was known in the office as a very affable, very nice, well, very ordinary guy, basically. And she didn't want to upset his feelings or anything. So she just kind of turned him down nicely. And I think he texted her to apologize, but then there was a series of texts that escalated. And then eventually when he suggested that he was going to go to her house, she made it very clear she hadn't texted back, and she replied and said, please don't do that. And then that was, I think, in early 2020, around February, March time. And then things started to escalate. So she started to notice things like her wheels of her car were painted pink. There was painting daubed on her window. It was a series of X's and O's. And I win was written in it, written on the window. She also had, then she started to get a series of letters. So after the first letter, which was basically saying from an unknown person, but she obviously had an idea at this point, basically telling her that they were going to call to her house and she was to leave the back door open and they were going to have sex, and there was condoms on the letter.
Yeah.
So after this, then she went to the guards, and the guards advised her to put cameras on her home, which she did. And then the second letter, which was basically saying, if you don't let me into your home, I'm going to rape you and your daughter. That's when things really escalated. And then the guardie set up a surveillance sting. And I think it was on the fourth day, they witnessed James Steele coming to
Yeah, the and so, I mean, obviously, when he came to the home, he was armed with a crowbar, duct tape, rope, and an 11-inch sex toy. And he had a hat, a snood, and blue plastic gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, his intent was absolutely clear in mm-hmm. all ways. So let's go back to, like, that first moment where he made an advance on Una Ring. And this is always the thing that I hear from women, really, that I've known throughout my life and some have worked with or whatever, where a guy makes this advance that's very pushy and unwanted. And Una Ring had no dealings with him before that. She was really, really clear at all moments. She said, no, I don't want this, leave mm-hmm. me alone. And then he followed up with a text kind of apologizing. And she said, that's fine, you know. But she was really clear again then when he made further advances, saying, I'm not interested, I don't want a relationship. All of these text messages were part of the court hearing. Like, you could not be clearer.
No.
And I always think for women, like, that's they're being really clear, and it's really, really frightening and unsettling when that just doesn't get heard.
Yeah, and I suppose the culture is more open in terms of people feel more comfortable now and they're heard more. But I obviously, thankfully, things rarely escalate to this level that Una Ring had to suffer. But for most women, I'm sure they have some example of when they were, maybe got a text they didn't want to get, or on a night out when they were approached when they didn't want to be approached. So, you know, we all probably have minor experiences, but then Una Ring's was obviously at the extreme criminal end, and she was put through unimaginable.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, exactly. So you hear women, and I think they kind of get surprised when, if they're really, really clear and said, I am not interested,
mm-hmm.
they expect that to end at that point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always.
No.
Now, obviously, she was getting these advances from James Steele. At this point, initially she probably had no reason to be alarmed other than this is inappropriate and I don't want this, because he wasn't a guy that was, you know, chaotic, dangerous, in and out of the courts. He was a normal married man. I think they said he coached.
He did,
teams.
Yeah. He brought his kids to sports events every weekend and was a family man. Lived in Ross Carberry in Cork. She was in Yall. That was where the crime was committed. It was known to be a decent guy by all accounts. He just didn't raise any kind of warnings with anybody. As you said earlier, he did have a previous conviction for indecent assault. I think he lured a girl out of a nightclub in his native Australia when he was 18 and indecently assaulted her, but nothing since then. And obviously people wouldn't have been aware of that in their daily dealings with him. And, you know, Una did know him. She obviously worked with him. They weren't friends or anything like that, but she obviously, had you said, had no reason to fear him. Maybe just thought that, you know, this often happens where people don't reciprocate feelings. So she was just being very nice and said, look, I'm not looking for anything. And she had no idea what was about to happen to her.
No, because, so obviously, as you spoke about, there was this, when she get this second letter, and it's very, very explicit, you know, if you don't let me into the house and have sex with consent, then I'm going to rape you and your daughter. I mean, what... Like, just the level of malevolence in that is shocking. Like, and just to receive that must have been extremely scary. And at that point, because of that threat was so explicit, the guards really were able to spring into action. Like, she'd already installed CCTV after the first letter, was living in fear. As you said, she woke up one morning, I think she said at one point that her daughter came into her in her bedroom and said, somebody's after painting all the cars, tires pink, like really odd, just deliberately unsettling. So they were able to spring into action then, and they did, you know, this is probably an example of really good Garda behavior, like in that they put the place under monitoring for 4 days. Was it a stakeout operation?
Yeah, and they actually said, we spoke to sources in the wake of the conviction, and they had actually said, thankfully, that it did happen on the fourth day, because obviously with resources and as weeks go on, you start to maybe have to, you know, you'd have to look at things, but they had it set up, and after 4 days he did come. And I suppose another eerie part of the case is the CCTV stills of him dressed, his face covered, and obviously he was carrying weapons. So they were able to catch him. And, like, you know, to go back to Una's terror, it's just not something that people would have to comprehend. But she talked about how she was so frightened that she used to actually wipe down the banisters in her hallway before going to bed in case someone did break in. And, you know, that was needed by Gardaí to get their fingerprints. You know, that was the level of what she was at. So, yes, yeah, so luckily the guards were able to catch him on the fourth day because, you know, a source has told us in the wake of it, who knows how this may have ended. You know, so.
Like, it is. So it's an unusual case, of course, because of the extremity of it. But it became... You know, it would have always made headlines just because of the graphic nature of what that poor woman had to go through. But also it became a significant case because of Una Ring and the fact that she was willing to sort of go public and become, I suppose, one of the people who pushed for stalking legislation to be brought in. Mm-hmm. So, and James Steele was ultimately convicted of Harassment,
yeah. So he was convicted with, I think he pleaded guilty to 5 offences, the most serious of which was harassment, but he also, harassment and burglary with intent to rape, and then 2 counts of criminal damage. And now he could have been sentenced to 14 years for those offences. He was given 7, but Una did state that she was happy enough. She would have liked the higher offence, but she was happy enough. But I suppose what we're talking about is that while they can, you know, you will be tried under specific offences, but stalking as a standalone offence wasn't a crime at the time.
See, and the reason he ultimately did go to jail was because of that, probably because of that rape threat. But there's probably women who have been stalked over a long period of time where without that threat, and that's actually in the Netflix series Baby Reindeer, because the victim does go to the police at one stage and he's showing them hundreds and thousands of emails, and they're saying, well, where's the actual threat? Because we can't do anything to them. Now there's more complicated than that, but that's a basic thing of it. Now, in Una Ring's case, she had that very explicit threat, and so the guards were able to do it. But up until last year, stalking in of itself, they could have done very little because of the legislation.
Yeah.
But that has now changed for anybody who is in that circumstance or knows somebody who is. Like, what are the new bits of legislation that have come in around this area?
So it's the Criminal Justice Bill 2022, and it's not just stalking, but it does legislate stalking as a standalone offence. And I suppose where Una's case was handled was harassment, but that was obviously, you know, textbook harassment from what we just talked about, yeah. All the texts and his letters and everything. But I suppose the thing with stalking is that it can actually be a single time occurrence as well, and it can happen in communication, it can happen in, you know, people just feeling like their everyday lives is impacted heavily by it. So I suppose, yeah, it just covers things a bit more broadly for people who haven't experienced what Una experienced but are still, you know, stalking victims. So that carries a maximum penalty of 10 years under the legislation. And then it also covers offence of non-fatal strangulation as well, because obviously that's, you know, domestic violence, as we've spoken about before, is a massive issue in Ireland. I think there's 15,000 cases in 2023 alone looked at by Dublin Gardaí. So, you know, that's just an example of that. So that's also under the legislation. And there's also mention of how it's now possible under that legislation for people to apply for a restraining order without a criminal prosecution being underway.
So this would be a civil action.
Yeah.
Where you can go into court and say, you know, I feel like I'm being stalked, and there wouldn't have to be the guards proving this beyond a reasonable doubt. Effectively, you can get a barring order or, you know, where you can go into court and there's, you know, the criteria for that would be that the victim is in fear of violence, or it's the communication is causing them distress or serious alarm.
Yeah.
And so then you'd be in a position to effectively get a barring order without having to go through the criminal process. And that's a big change.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose it's with stalking victims, when Gardaí or when they're sending the cases to the DPP, they're looking for other legislation breaches that will allow the stalking victim to have their case heard, whereas now it's there, and that's obviously happened with Una in terms of the harassment charge, but now it's there in black and white, you know, and there's various different ways that people can feel stalked. So, yeah, and then in terms of the restraining order, I guess it's just that extra security that you don't have to wait months and months for the DPP to make a decision and then for a criminal prosecution to be gone through.
Yeah, and also with all of these restraining orders, whether it's family law or whatever, like once the restraining order, if there's a breach of it, that becomes a really instant criminal offence as well. So that gives people the other protection that if somebody doesn't abide by the terms, that their tormentor can be brought to justice. So James Steele comes out. I mean, is there any follow-up? We don't probably know any of those conditions, but they're probably, you know, it must be a terrifying time for her.
Of course, yeah. And Patrick O'Connell, who had the story this week, he contacted Una, and she declined to comment for now. Obviously, it's a horrific time. She spoke in recent months to Virgin Media. They did a documentary called Stalked, and there was various different victims, not just Una, who contributed to it. And Una did tell about how she was terrified. Basically, she had spoken, this was earlier in the year, and she said that James Steele is getting out in April, and she was, very worried about it. But she did say that he's subject to a 5-year probation
order basically
as part of his release conditions. So, but then she said, what happens after 5 years? And it's not known if he's going to return to Australia or if he'll go back to he had been living in Cork for around 10 years. I think he married an Irish woman, so you know, we don't know what's going to happen there. But obviously, if he does anything to breach his probation conditions in the next 5 years, that will be dealt with. But then,
you know,
he's essentially...
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is, like, you know, and I saw that Virgin Media documentary, and, you know, you just see the reality of it, because she spoke a couple of small things. Like, the first interaction, she gone to help him out in his new job, set up his IT. And, you know, for her, it was just a casual thing. She says, I just thought I'd show up and give him a hand because somebody he works with. And he took that as an invitation or whatever. And, you know, even when she was really clear in the text and say, I don't want this, please stop. It just, you know, just that powerlessness where somebody completely ignores any boundary you put down. It's just really, really frightening. And that's only the small bits of it. She spoke then about the letters where she says it was a major escalation. And you just feel so out of your depth, because it is a terrifying situation for if somebody just won't, if you ask people to stop doing that and they just continue to ignore you. Like it's scary, and probably most women have experience, as you said, a lesser or greater extent of this.
Yeah. And I suppose the thing about it is as well, is that there was just no, he wasn't, you know, you'd imagine if he was known in the office or being a bit of a creepy guy, or if he had that reputation, that she wouldn't have been offered these things, obviously. So it was just kind of the unexpected maybe behavior that just really spiraled out of control. Because I think the first unwanted encounter was in February of 2020, and then the arrest happened in June of 2020. So that's like, what, 4 or 5 months?
Absolutely nothing.
For a massive escalation. So it's that terrifying aspect that you really just don't know what's going on with some people. And she told of like the extremes that she went to, that she was even considering at one point to get tattoos on her body so that she could be, you know, identified if she needed to be, because that was what she had gone to in her head, as you can expect, as you can imagine, like, you know. So it's awful.
I mean, Baby Reindeer is an absolutely brilliant program now. I'm not here to advertise for Netflix, but
yeah, like, I'll have to watch it now.
Yeah, like it's the subject matter is so serious, and it's not down, it is actually a comedy as well. So it's not that it downplays it, but it's just that sense of, like, you can get that sense of powerlessness where you can do all the right things. You can be tough. You can go to police. You can be gentle. You can be hard. And somebody is just going to keep coming at you. And it is terrifying.
And I suppose if somebody's capable of that and they don't have any understanding of boundaries, then, you know, how do you sort of get through to somebody? How do you get through to that person? Because obviously they're not, they don't think of things the way
they're not.
A normal person would. So it's like, you know, it's, I can imagine the fear and the, as you said, feeling of helplessness.
Yeah. And I mean, I think at the end of this, Una Ring has to be commended. Like, to be the face of these things is not an easy experience, because you have to put your life out there, and people, you know, people are always going to, you know, that's a tough place to be in, and to speak about what you went through. So
absolutely. And she was a big driver. Obviously there were other victims too, but she was a big driver in, you know, making stalking a standalone offence. And she really did put herself out there, which nobody wants to be associated with such a horrific crime. And because of the eerie nature of it and the shocking nature of it, it is probably one of the most memorable ones in Irish crime. Yeah, so she's always going to be associated with that, which of course isn't good for her, but she really did put herself out there, and it has, you know, worked out, because as she said herself, this is going to help everybody in that, you know, it's going to maybe get across to criminals who do harass women that, you know, stalking is now an offence. So it's going to maybe result in more prosecutions, but also maybe deter offenders a little bit more. And then it's going to reduce, you know, the man hours that is needed in terms of, you know, they have that legislation now to...
Yeah. To hopefully act as a deterrent and give people a solution.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Eimear, and you have to watch that program now.
I will, yeah. Well, I was very skeptical the last time you recommended a program on Netflix called Chimp Empire about a gang of chimps, basically, and I was not expecting it to be as good as it was. So
exactly,
I will trust your opinion on this.
It's a constant experience, Eimear, where, you know, we discuss it and you think I'm probably wrong, and then at the end you realise I was right all along.
I just don't like admitting that you're right, because
because of my humility.
Because of your modesty. You don't let me, you'd let me forget it, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Eimear.
Thanks, Matt.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from sundayworld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free sundayworld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.